right. Well, it was an incredible week at camp. In fact, it was our second week of camp this summer, and both of them were absolutely amazing. God moved in a big way at both camps this summer. The worship was incredible. If you appreciate LA and the band, man, give it up for those guys. They were great this morning, great for weeks of camp, did an amazing job. Pastor David did an incredible job opening up and teaching God's word. Our leaders were incredible. You guys were incredible. It was just a blast. And on top of that, it was fun. Did you guys have fun at camp this year? The camp was a blast. And for those of you that joined us, I want to remind you of something. There's a new thing at Carolina Creek that easily and very quickly became my favorite thing at Carolina Creek. And that was the little lagoon that was cut out of the cable park there, right there on the edge of the lake. And there was a lot of fun stuff to do down inside the lagoon, a little trampoline and some water toys and that kind of stuff. But my favorite thing to do at the lagoon was they built a platform or a deck, almost like for cliff jumping, off the side of the cliff down into the lagoon below. It was about 35 feet, just a show of hands. Who had the guts this summer to do that? High school, middle school? All right, a lot of us. Good. Very, very good. So I loved jumping off of that this summer, but not only that, I loved watching, right? I loved watching you guys jump off of that this summer, because this is what happened at both camps, all right? Several times, somebody that had never done it before would get there, and it was their turn, and they would come past the little rope, and they would walk up to the edge, and they would look, and they would turn around, and they would leave, right? And they didn't jump off, right? There were some people that did that, and then there were others that made it to the edge, and they looked, and they just stood there for a little bit, right? Anybody see that this last week at camp, right? So they stood on the edge, right? Maybe you're guilty of that. I was for a second, too. They're looking over the edge, and they're trying to decide, is this a good idea, right? Is I'm at the edge, I'm looking, what am I doing up here, right? And they're on it. They're just ready to take that step, but they haven't quite done it yet. And they're looking over the side, and a few things have to click before they're ready to make that jump, right? It's only when you get to a place of trust that you take the jump, right? You've got to trust before you jump that you're going to be okay. You've got to trust before you jump that water is deep enough that you're not going to hit the bottom and get hurt. You've got to trust before you jump that the life jacket that you're wearing is going to pull you back up and not let you sink down below. You've got to ultimately trust that everything's going to work out. You've got to trust that when you take the leap of faith, when you step off the side, that you're going to be okay. And when you trusted, right, when that clicked, when you got it in your head and you came to that place of trust, that's when you jumped off the side. That's when you took the plunge and went down. Because listen to this, guys. Trust drives action, right? When we trust, it causes us to do something. When we trust, it motivates us and moves us to take the step. It motivates and moves us to step off the ledge. Trust drives action in our lives, all right? Trust allows us to take risk, all right? Trust allows us to take risk. And ultimately in life, this is what we're going to see in God's word this morning. We're going to see that we can take risk, that you and I, as followers of Jesus, can step off the ledge, that we can take risk because we have a trust in God. And you're not going to take a risk, and I'm not going to take a risk, and we as a church aren't going to be willing to take risk. We're not going to be willing to put ourselves out there until we've got that trust in God developed. It doesn't matter. When we trust God, it doesn't matter what or who comes our way. It doesn't matter what could come our way. It doesn't matter what challenges we face in this world. It doesn't matter what obstacles we face. When we trust God, we're willing to do what He calls us to do. When we trust God, we can move to a place of action. And listen to this. When we trust God, we can move to a place of action even if there's a risk involved. Even if we're not quite sure what's going to happen, we can trust God and take that risk. We're going to see some guys that did that in God's word this morning. If you've got your Bible, open up to Daniel chapter 3. All right, we're going to look in Daniel chapter 3, and we're going to look at a story that for some of us, I understand, it's probably brand new. We might not have ever seen this story, this piece of history in God's word before. Some of us might have read this and studied this several times all the way back to Vacation Bible School. It doesn't matter how many times we've seen it, we can always learn something from it. So as you're turning to Daniel chapter 3, I want to let you know that we're going to be looking at three of Daniel's friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and who's the third? Abednego. You guys are geniuses. I love it. All right, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And we're going to look at them as they face what some of us might describe as an impossible situation. We're going to look at them as they walk through a very, very tough time, a very, very tough thing. And we're going to see that because they trusted God, right? Because they trusted God, they were able to be obedient to God. Because they trusted God, they were able to be obedient even when it was risky for them to do so. And we're going to see that as they remained obedient, guess what? God got glory from it. All right, guys, trust leads to obedience. Say that with me. Trust leads to obedience. All right, we're going to be in Daniel 3. Hopefully you guys are there. I'm going to pray for our time in the Word together, and then we're going to look at what God's Word has to say. Would you bow your heads with me? Take a second this morning as we open up God's Word and just ask that God would speak through His Word today. That as you read the verses, as you look at the words that He has given to us in the Bible, ask that your heart and that your mind would be open to receive it, that you could understand it, that you could apply it to your life, and that it would build on the foundation that He's laid in your heart. God, we love you. Lord, we thank you for your word. God, we thank you for the opportunity to open your word today, Father. And Lord, I pray that as we look in your word, God, as we see men that were faithful to you, men that were obedient to you because they trusted you, God, Lord, I pray that it would allow us to do the same. God, as we see how you responded to the obedience of these men, God, I pray that we would learn about you, God, that we would learn about your faithfulness, that we would learn that you're a trustworthy God, and most of all, God, that we would learn how much you love us and how much you care about us. Father, I ask that you would speak to us this morning. It's in your name we pray. Amen. All right, so here's the scene, right? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, three guys are in the king's court. Three guys are working for King Nebuchadnezzar. And all of a sudden, one day, King Nebuchadnezzar decides to build a statue, to build an idol. And he does this based on a dream that he had back in Daniel chapter 2. Daniel, by sheer miracle of God, was able to interpret the dream that had a statue in it. And most people think that it's because of that dream, Nebuchadnezzar decided to build a giant golden statue, right? Out on the plains, and he was going to bring everybody around it. Now, when you're driving north on I-45 towards Dallas or towards Carolina Creek, which we just came from, has anybody ever seen Sam Houston, the statue on the side? Big white statue? All right, Nebuchadnezzar's statue that's made of gold was 13 feet taller than that, right? He built a really, really big statue out on the plains. And what he did was he got all the leaders in his kingdom. He got all the rulers, all the people with influence, and he gathered them all together, and he gave the command that everybody, when he gave the command, was going to bow down and begin to worship this statue. Right? Not worship God, but worship the statue and ultimately worship him. He wanted everybody in his kingdom to begin worshiping him. And so the people in his kingdom are now faced with a choice. They're going to worship him or they're not going to worship him. The Jews that were taken, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, are going to have to make a choice. Are we going to remain faithful to our God who is faithful to us? Or are we going to choose to be disobedient to God and follow what King Nebuchadnezzar is asking us to do? So they're faced with a really, really tough decision. Look at verse 6, Daniel chapter 3, verse 6. Here's the command given by the king. So he sets it up. He builds a statue. He says, we're going to bow down. And verse 6 says, and whoever does not fall down and worship shall immediately, not later, not down the road, not after a trial, shall immediately be cast into a burning, fiery furnace. Therefore, as soon as all the people heard the sound of the horn, the pipe, the lyre, the trigon, the harp, and the bagpipe, every kind of music, all the people, nations, and languages, they fell down and they worshiped the golden image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. So the music played And when the music played, everybody did what King Nebuchadnezzar asked them to do. Right? Everybody bowed down. Everybody began to worship a statue of a man. Everybody began to worship something that didn't deserve worship. Everybody began to praise an object as it was God, even though it clearly was not God. Now, I want you to think about it. It's tons of people that are gathered around this thing. It's not one or two. And so there had to have been people in that crowd that didn't want to bow down. There had to have been people in that crowd that thought Nebuchadnezzar was crazy. There had to have been people in that crowd that actually helped build the statue, and they realized and they knew, listen, I built that. That's not a god. What are we doing here? There had to have been people that believed something else, that didn't want to do what everyone else around them was doing. But as we look in God's word, we see that most everybody that was standing there bowed down to the idol because either they didn't have the courage to do what's right, they didn't have the guts to do what was right. They didn't trust in their God enough to step up, stand out, and do what's right. They bowed down probably because everyone was going with it, because everyone was willing to bow down. Nobody stood up and took a stand except for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And listen, guys, we live in a world, guys, the culture that surrounds us is very, very similar. Right, when we're faced with decisions like that, I think that time and time again, we can look and see the majority of the people, right, the majority of the people in our world, the majority of the people in our culture, especially students, when we think about your schools and that kind of thing, the majority of the people are bowing down to the things that this world asks them to bow down to. Right? The majority of the people are going along with the crowd. They're doing what everybody else is doing. They don't have the guts. They're not willing to step up, stand out, and to be different. I mean, think about the messages that we see every day. Think about the influence that our culture has on us and the things that our culture is pushing, the things that the culture that we live in, that you live in, the things that they want you to think are okay, the things that they want you to think are acceptable, the things that they want you to think are good things to do. So often they go against the word of God. Our culture teaches that it's about us. Our culture teaches that we need to be selfish. Our culture teaches a love of money and a love of stuff. And if we don't have the stuff, then we're not doing it right and we're not in the right place. Our culture teaches that sex is okay anytime outside of marriage and that we just need to do what feels good. And as long as we love each other, that things are good. All of these things our culture pushes on us. And guys, so often our people bow to the culture. People bow down to the commands of the culture around them. People go with what the world calls them to do instead of what God calls them to do. Listen, for each one of us, there will be idols built, right? Not literal idols, not big golden ones in the middle of a plain that we're called to bow down to, but there's going to be things that tempt us. We're going to look around, and there's going to be a lot of people around us that are giving into it, and in that moment, guys, we're going to have a decision. All right, we're going to have a choice to make. Are we going to trust God enough to be obedient to God? Or are we going to do what everyone around us is going to do? I promise you, a lot of people are going to go with it. A lot of people are going to go with it. Guys, bowing and going with the culture, being like everyone around you is incredibly easy. All right, doing what everyone else does is an easy thing to do. It doesn't require any thought. It doesn't require any guts. It doesn't require any dedication or any commitment. We can go with it and experience no friction, no pushback, and just sort of roll with it. But guys, not bowing down, not giving in requires trust. Getting to the edge and taking that jump, doing what God's called you to do, it takes trust. Trust knowing that God's got you. Trust knowing that God is in control. Trust knowing that God is not going to let you fall, but that he is going to protect you as you are obedient to him. Guys, either way, we have a decision to make. Are we going to worship and go along with the people around us, or are we going to stand firm and stand out, anchored like Daniel last week, to our God and be obedient to him? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego stayed anchored to our God. They trusted in him, and they did not bow. Look back at the text. Back in chapter 3, we see that they didn't bow. And a bunch of other people told on them. They went to the king and told the king immediately that they didn't bow. The Bible says that the king was furious. The Bible said that the king was upset. The Bible says that the king immediately grabbed them and brought them to himself. All right, I need a favor. Can you three guys stand up for me real quick? Just sort of stand up. Come on, Cam, you're good. Stand up. All right, so here's the deal. Everybody look around. All right. So there's three people. There's three people on the floor right now that are standing up. All right, can y'all just, everybody in the room, just point to the people that are standing up. Everybody sees y'all right now. Everybody can see you. Everybody sees that you're different. Everybody sees that you're standing out. Everybody else is sitting down. Everybody else is down. You are the only guys that are up. Now think with me, if you will, at Daniel chapter 3. Think about the verses. Stay standing for me. Think about the verses and what's going on here. Everybody else is bowed down. Everybody's on the ground bowing to this idol. There's three guys that aren't. Think about how easy it would be to pick them out. They're not going to blend in. They're not going to be able to sort of sneak away and hide. There's nowhere to go. They're standing up. They're trusting in God, and they're being obedient to him. You guys can have a seat. And because they were obedient to him, people saw, people told the king. The king was furious and called them in. And here's the deal, right? The king didn't do what he said. The king said back in verses 6 and 7 that he was immediately going to throw these three guys into the furnace. That's not what happened. The king brought them in, and the king had a conversation with them. The king brought them in and wanted to discuss it. The king brought them in and gave them a second chance. That was unheard of in a kingdom like this. That was unheard of in a culture like this. When the king would execute punishment very, very quick, very, very swift, and without any discussion. The fact that these three guys got to go before the king and talk was a miracle in itself. And I believe that as we look in the text that God did that so that he could be glorified. My favorite verse in here, look at verse 16. The king brings them up. The king begins to discuss with them. And this is their response. The king gives them a second chance. He says, listen, guys, here's the deal. I don't know why you didn't bow down. Bow down and you're good. Don't bow down and we're throwing you in the furnace. And here's their response in verse 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. Here's a translation. There's no discussion that needs to be had. We don't even need to talk about it. Our decision has been made. Our mind is made up. This is a non-negotiable in our life. We will serve and love and bow down and worship only God, not you, not your statue, not anybody else. That is a decision that we've made in our life, and it doesn't matter what happens, we're not going back on it. That's a non-negotiable in their life. And I want you to think for a second. All right, if you're taking notes, if you're writing stuff down, I want you to do me a favor and just write down two or three non-negotiables in your life. Things where your mind is made up and it doesn't matter what happens. It doesn't matter what anybody said. You have decided, you believe so firmly and so strongly that no matter what comes your way, this is not changing in my life. This is a non-negotiable. All right, go ahead, just write them down. Think about it. Spiritual ones, all right? There's lots of ones that aren't spiritual. Stephen Yates, I just saw you out of the corner of my eye. Yeah, non-negotiable in my life is I will never root for the Cubs, ever. Doesn't matter what's going on, I will never root for the Cubs. But I'm not talking about those kind. I'm talking about spiritual ones, right? Think about things that God has impressed on your heart from his word that are non-negotiables in your life. Hopefully one of them is like these three guys that you will love, serve, and worship only the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Hopefully that's a non-negotiable in your life. Hopefully you've decided that you're going to grow in your relationship with Christ and you're going to take steps every day to do more and more what God has called you to do. Hopefully you've decided that you're going to keep your mind and your heart and your body pure before God, and that's a non-negotiable in your life. And it doesn't matter what happens. It doesn't matter who you spend time with, who you hang out with. You've decided to remain pure in body, mind, and heart. Hopefully that's a non-negotiable for you, something you don't even have to discuss, something you don't even have to think about, right? Think about what those non-negotiables are for you. Think about what they need to be for you. And think about why you made them. Think about why you're committed to that. Hopefully, Hopefully it's because of your relationship with Jesus. Hopefully it's because of the way that Jesus loves you and the way that you're called to love him in return. Hopefully it's because you trust Jesus and you desire to live a life of obedience to Jesus. Listen, guys, I'm telling you, those guys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that didn't become a non-negotiable in their life when they got brought before the king. Surely they decided a long time before that, that no matter what happened in their life, they were only going to serve, love, and worship God. We can't make those decisions in the moment. Some of those are decisions that we need to nail down now in our life before we're ever facing the furnace, before we're ever facing the temptation. Those need to be decisions that we have nailed down and solidified in our heart now. Listen, guys, there's people in the world that are having to make these decisions today. Right, we've got brothers and sisters, Christians in the Middle East, that are having to make the decision, bow down and worship someone else, bow down and deny Christ or lose your life. And listen, they're not denying Christ. Right? They're choosing to lose their life because they love and they trust God, and it's leading them to a place of obedience. And I promise you this, they're not making that decision in the moment. That decision is based on a lifetime of obedience following after God. That decision is based on non-negotiables that they have nailed down in their heart before God, where they have been obedient to God daily, where they've decided that no matter what happens, they're going to do what God calls them to do, that no matter what they face, God is worth it, that no matter what they face, Jesus loves them enough to carry them through it. What are the non-negotiables in your life? What are you not willing at all to compromise on? If you wait to think of it, if you wait to make those decisions until you're facing the furnace, if you wait to make those decisions until you're facing that moment of temptation, guys, it's too late. Guys, nail it down in your hearts now. Commit to it now. Stick to it now. Trust in God now. And as you trust in God now, that's going to lead you to a place of obedience daily in the small things and all the time in the big things as those big things pop into your mind, into your heart. Okay, let's look at verse 17. Listen, they didn't need to discuss it because they trusted God. They continue talking and said this, if this be so, and that's if you're going to throw us into the fire, our God, listen to this, our God who we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. They looked at the king and they said, our God is higher than you will ever be. Our God is over whatever we face. Our God is able to deliver us from whatever you throw at us. And guys, the way that was true for these guys, it's still true for us today. God is able to deliver us. God is able to shield us. God is able to protect us and walk us through whatever it is that we are going to face. Listen, we did something at camp. For those of you that weren't there, we did it at middle school camp and we did it at high school camp, and every student received a note card, and we let you guys just write down things that you struggled with, things that you were dealing with. We let you write down the choices that you might have had to make that would lead you to a fiery furnace. We had you write down the things that you were battling with in your life, the things that you wrestled with, the things that caused you hurt and pain and grief. And guys, as I sat and as I read those at both camps, it hurts my heart to know that you guys are having to make some of those decisions. It hurts my heart to know that you guys are struggling and battling with so many of those things, but that's the reality of the world that we live in. That's the reality of the sin that has polluted and perverted our world. Guys, I want you to know that the same way that these guys trusted God, the same way that these guys knew that God was able to deliver them. Guys, God is able to deliver you from whatever it is you're struggling with. He's able to deliver you from whatever you wrote down. He's able to deliver you from whatever you're dealing with or struggling with right now. Guys, God is able to deliver. We just need to trust in him. These guys trusted in God, and listen to this. This is important. Don't miss this. They trusted in God. They knew that God was able to deliver, so they trusted in his ability. But listen, they also trusted in his plan, right? Because they know that God's ability and God's plan is sometimes a little bit different. While God's able to do anything, sometimes he chooses to go a direction that we might not understand. Sometimes he chooses to allow things to happen in our lives that we might not get, that might be painful for us, that might be a challenge for us. And these three guys knew it, and they were willing to trust God. They were willing to trust God no matter what. Let's read verses 17, and we're going to add 18 on it again. Even if this be so, even if you're going to throw us into the fire, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. And now look at verse 18. They said, but if not, all right? Our God's able, and look at verse 18, but if he doesn't, even if he doesn't deliver us, be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. Listen, guys, they trusted in God's plan. Even if it meant that they were going to suffer, even if it meant that they were going to die, they were willing to trust in God's plan because they know that God's plan is bigger, that God's plan is greater, and that God's plan is always for his glory and our ultimate good. They knew that, and they trusted in that, and they were willing to take a giant leap of faith. They were willing to be obedient in a really, really big way because they trusted that. Listen, that's hard for us to grasp sometimes. That's hard for me to grasp sometimes, but I have to remind myself that I live in this moment, right? I live in this moment. I can see this picture right here, right? God created this moment. And God created every moment. And God sees the big picture. He sees what's happening before my life. He sees what's happening after my life. And God is ultimately, right? God is ultimately going to do what brings him glory, what points people to him. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego trusted God in that. And they were willing to be obedient to God in the midst of that. In Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 and 9, we see some verses that help us to grasp that a little bit. It says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. Listen, guys, no matter what happens, these guys weren't going to bow down. Think about their lives. They were drugged from their homes. They were placed in a new land. They didn't have any access to the word of God that they had before. They weren't worshiping in the temple, fellowshipping with God the way they were before, but they still trusted in God. How's our trust level this morning? Now, guys, think about our trust level. Think about how much we trust in God. Think about the place that we're at in history. Guys, we're on this side of Jesus. We have access to the entire word of God. If you're a follower of Christ, you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you to lead you, to guide you, and direct you. Guys, the question is for myself, the question for all of us is this, is guys, what does our trust in God's plan look like? These guys trusted God fully, and because of that, they didn't bow down. The king tied them up. The king was furious, had him carried to the top of the furnace and thrown in. Guys, the furnace was so hot that it killed the soldiers that took them up there to throw them in, right? This king couldn't protect his own soldiers, but as they were thrown in, we see that God was able to protect his followers. They were thrown in and they were tied up, all three of them, into the fire. I want you to look down at verse 24. They're thrown into the fire. And we see that God's able to protect him. It says, then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished, and he rose up in haste. He declared to his counselors, did we not cast three men into the fire? And they answered and said, yes, king, we cast three in. He answered and said, but I see four men. They're unbound. They're not tied up. And they're walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt. And the appearance of the fourth man is like a son of the gods. They're in the fire, they're walking, and they are not hurt. It's a miracle, right? It is an absolute miracle that they were able to exist in that furnace. We saw it killed the men that were throwing them in there. Guys, God supernaturally stepped in and protected him. And we see all throughout Scripture that God promises to never leave his followers. God promises to always be with it. And we see a literal picture of it right here in Daniel chapter 3 where Jesus is with people that were willing to be obedient and to trust in God. He stepped in and saved them. He stepped in and preserved them because of their trust in him. Guys, listen, trust leads to obedience, and our obedience ultimately gives glory to God. Look at verse 27. Remember everybody on the plains? Remember everybody else that bowed down? Remember everybody else that compromised and did what the king wanted them to do? They're called together to look into the fire to see these guys protected by God. In verse 27, it says, all the officials gathered together and saw that the fire, listen to this, had not had any power over the bodies of these men. That fire, right, the things of this world had no power over the bodies of those who were obedient to God. The hair of their heads was not singed, their cloaks were not harmed, and no smell of fire had come upon them. Guys, the fire had no power over them, but God did. God did. As we continue reading, we see that the name of the Lord is protected, that the name of the Lord is preserved. The king says that no one can speak ill of the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and God got glory from their obedience. God got glory because of the way that they trusted in him. And these three men were elevated, right? They were raised to a new position in the kingdom, again, for God to ultimately position and use for his glory. Guys, their trust led them to a place of obedience. Their trust brought them to a place when they got to the edge, when they were going to have to take a risk, when they were going to have to risk everything to follow God because they trusted God, they were able to be obedient to God. Because they trusted God, they were able to take a risk for God. And we see again that God is faithful. We see again that God does what he said that he's going to do. We see again that God stepped in and preserved his people. Guys, trust will lead all of us to a place of obedience. Trust leads to obedience. Guys, bow your heads with me. I just want you to think for a moment this morning about your trust in God. I want you to think for a moment about how you trust God. I want you to think for a moment about how you respond when you've got to make a decision. About how you respond when the culture, when the world around you wants you to go a certain way that you know is not right. I want you to think about how you respond when temptation hits or when you have to take a risk for God. How do you respond? We can learn a lot about our trust in God by looking at how we respond in situations like that. Guys, I want to tell you that we can trust God. You can trust God. Guys, he loves you enough, he loves me enough that he sent his son to die for us. We can trust someone that loves us that much. This morning, in this time of prayer, just with your heads bowed and your eyes closed as the band comes back up, I just want you to think for a minute about where you need to trust God. I need you to think for a minute about the ledges that you stand on in your life, the places where you have to make a decision. Guys, this morning I want to encourage you to trust Jesus. Guys, trust him at home. Guys, trust Jesus in your school. Trust him with your friends. Trust him when it's easy. And guys, trust him when it's hard. Trust him when you have to stand out. Trust him when you have to take a risk. Because guys, the time is coming where you're going to have to do that. The time is coming where you're going to have a choice to make. You're going to go along with everybody else, or you're going to trust in God and be obedient to him to allow him to work in you and through you to bring him glory and to point others to him. God's trust will bring us all to a place of obedience. With your heads bowed, your eyes closed, I want you to think about this concept. Think about this thought. Pastor David said last night that the students in this room this morning, the students that make up this student ministry, are equipped and ready to be a passionate, world-changing group of missionaries. And you don't even have to go anywhere to do it. Right? Everywhere you already go, the places that you already live, the schools that you go to, the friends that you have, guys, when we trust God and we're obedient to God, we're naturally going to be those missionaries. We're naturally going to point people to him. Guys, trust will lead to obedience, which will lead to God getting the glory.
We hope that you've enjoyed the message today and that it will be a source of encouragement to you this week. At Champion Forest Baptist Church, we desire to help people make sense out of life through Christ-centered living. And that's because with Christ, we have hope and true satisfaction. The Bible clearly states that all men have offended God by worshiping things He created instead of Him. We have chosen to reject His authority in our life and look for satisfaction in things He created instead of Him, which is ultimately pointless given that He is truly the only thing that can satisfy us completely. He is the perfection of everything we seek. The problem is, though, that once we have sinned against Him by turning to these other things, a gap is created between us, not allowing us to access Him anymore to find this satisfaction. God's character demands that our rebellion be accounted for before He forgives us. And this is the beauty of the message of Jesus. Christ is perfect in every way. He never rebelled against God, and He took upon our punishment on Himself so that we could be reconciled to God and be fully satisfied in Him, gaining eternal life. We need Jesus because without Him, we are without hope, both in this life and for eternity. Turn to Christ alone for forgiveness and find satisfaction fully in our great God. Once again, thanks for joining us today, and we hope to see you soon.